Amen. Let's open our Bibles this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight. We'll be reading verse 7 and also covering some surrounding verses throughout the sermon. And so one night there was a house fire, and there was a young boy who had no option other than to flee the fire to the roof. How many know the roof of a two-story house is not a good place to be when the house is on fire? And the father, who was on the ground level, stood below his son and called out to him with outstretching arms and says, "Jump, and I will catch you." And he knew that in order for the boy to survive, he had to jump off of the roof. But from the top where the boy was at, all he could see was smoke billowing out from the house, flames and blackness. And as can be imagined, he was afraid for his life. He couldn't see his father, and his father kept yelling, "Jump, I will catch you." And the boy would protest and say, "Dad, but I can't see you." To which the father replied, "But I can see you, and that's all that matters." You see, in our walk as Christians, we can face life or even meet death with a complete confidence in Christ. This is not because of what we see with our eyes, but rather we can walk in faith because we know that He sees us and He is our deliverer from our struggles in life and also from the struggle of life. That we can walk in faith fully assured that He will bring us through life and most importantly will someday bring us to our true home, which is in heaven. And so our text tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, main verse is verse 7. We'll be covering surrounding verses, as I said. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So this evening I want to preach a sermon I've entitled, "Walking by Faith Despite Our Sight." Let's pray. Father God, help us tonight. God, let your Spirit, God, speak to each person on a personal and unique level, God, that they would hear directly from you, God, not by my words, God, but by the power of the cross tonight. We lean on you in Jesus' name. Amen. So our text tonight says, not by sight. We walk by faith, but not by sight. You see, the issue here, though, is that we're not blind. We are to walk by faith and not by sight, but our eyes still work. This, of course, is a very popular verse. Many people have heard it many times, right? At least somebody's probably said it to you before, "Hey, just walk by faith, not by sight. You know, trust in Jesus." And it's true. It is correct. But oftentimes, when we consider this idea of walking by faith and not by sight, we kind of get this imagination that we're blind, right? That we can't see and Christ is holding our hands and we're just kind of going like this right behind Him as we navigate life and we're figuring things out and we can't see anything. All we got is our hand on Jesus, or maybe it's like a Marco Polo type thing where we're going like this. We're like, "Jesus, I'm over here. Oh, Jesus, I'm over." We're getting there. We walk by faith, not by sight, by hearing Jesus, by feeling Jesus, because we're so blind and we can't see anything. But we know in reality, that's not walking by faith at all. You have no option. If you can't see, you have to trust in external sources to get you where you need to go. There's no faith involved in that at all. If we couldn't see, we couldn't choose. We would have to trust in something to guide us. That's not faith. Faith, rather, is a choice. Faith is choosing to trust God despite the other options, despite the things that are available to us, despite the things that we see with our working eyes. Walk by faith and not by sight. But the issue is that many times in life, we can see what is before us. The issue with walking by faith is that we have sight, that we can see. We walk by faith, but we can still see our problems right before us. We walk by faith, but we can still feel the pressure of our lives. We walk by faith, but we still face temptation day by day. We walk by faith, but we still have to make ends meet and make life happen. You see, sometimes we are called to walk by faith, but we don't see God's plan. Or the parts of it that we do see just simply don't make sense. Or sometimes we are called to walk by faith, but we just love our flesh a little too much. The things that gratify our flesh. We walk by faith, but we're called to walk by faith, but this, but that. The things that we see, the things that we desire to partake in. We walk by faith, but we can still see life happening around us. And that is the hardest part about walking by faith. That what God calls us to do many times is contradictory to what we see with our working eyes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, Paul is equating our bodies, he's using this as an illustration, calling our bodies tents that we live in on this world. Because we, how many know that we are not flesh and bones, we are a soul that is within flesh and bones. And so our bodies are a tent that our soul lives within in this world. And he says in verses 2 through 4, he says, "For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked, for we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." That's kind of a lot to chew on right there. A lot of analogy, a lot of things to think about. But ultimately, he says, "For in this tent we groan." So in other words, what he's saying is sometimes life stinks. We're in this life, our body hurts, our mind hurts, our life hurts, everything sucks. You got this, you got that. Don't act like you've never done that before. In this tent we groan. In this body that we have, this flawed, imperfect, sometimes painful, sometimes sick, sometimes injured body, we groan because sometimes life just flat out stinks. And our sight, our eyes, sees the stink of life. It sees the difficulty that we face, and it makes us groan. This again? Haven't I been around this block before? "For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened." Life is full of burdens. If you haven't figured that out yet, I don't know what you've been doing. Life is full of burdens, and this is a hard reality of life. One of my favorite quotes from like anything ever that I use frequently, most of you guys are too young for this. Boy Meets World, anybody watch that show? A couple of you? All right. Well, it's okay. The quote's still funny. This older brother, the younger brother's complaining to the older brother. Corey's complaining to Eric. And he's like, "Oh, life's so hard, life's so hard." And he goes, and his older brother comes up to him and he goes, "Life's tough, bro. Get a helmet." Bonks him on the head. That's the reality of life. Life is tough. So toughen up. We live in a time of burdens, and that time started at the fall of man, and it continues until the second coming of Christ. And we spend a lot of time in this world trying to make life more satisfying for ourselves, trying to make life less burdensome upon ourselves. But so often, we do this based off of not what the Word of God says, but what we see with our eyes. What makes sense to our mind? But Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now he says, "Come to me all who labor and are heavy laden." So in other words, people who are struggling and going through it, who feel the pressures of life. "Come to me, all of you, and I will give you rest." And I believe that this describes basically everybody who hasn't already come to Jesus. I don't care how made you got it or how made you don't got it. Somewhere in your life, you are feeling heavy laden. You are feeling like you're over laboring to get any level of success. You're feeling like you have no rest. And Jesus is calling out to you, are you done doing it yourself? Because I have rest for you. I truly believe that this describes every person who is not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying there aren't people out there who aren't saved who are going to act like they got it all good and they're all chill and everything's all right. They can put on a good front. But Jesus tells us, trust in me and I will help you. Come to me and I will give you rest. You see, we got all these ideas with our own eyes. We come about life. We always imagine life as a journey, right? We just imagine we're going down some type of trail and just things start happening. We got to start looking different ways and going down. We got turns and we got hills. And we just, it's like as if life was really ever that simple for us. But we imagine it that way. And we see with our eyes. And of course, what does the Bible say? Go down the straight and narrow, not the broad and wide. And our eyes say broad and wide. That's nice and easy, right? We're going to go down the highway, 75 miles per hour, and you end up singing that song along the way by AC/DC. I'm on a highway to hell. Yeah, you know that song. But the reality is, your eyes said, go down that road, but Jesus said, no, dude, I'm over here. This is the path to life. Our eyes took us down one way, but Jesus calls us down another way. A way that doesn't look like it makes sense to our eyes, but once we're on it, we go, Jesus, you got me. I got this. I understand now. It makes sense now. Something that really doesn't make sense until you experience it. Jesus says, trust me and I will help you. I will give you rest. My yoke is light. My burden is easy. There is still work to do in life, but you do it with me and things are different. It's as if he's simply telling us, walk by faith in me and not by sight, which is faith in you. We must walk by faith despite what we see, because I don't think any of us here are blind. And I hope that never comes into your life. Sight is a valuable thing. But we have to learn how to walk according to the Word of God despite what we see. And if you guys haven't caught on, I'm not actually talking about literal eyesight. I'm talking about what your mind wants to do, what your flesh desires, what it sees as the right way. God says, go right, but your eyes are pulling you left, right? Jesus is over here saying, hey, Jerry, this is the way to go. And I'm like, but that makes a lot more sense to me. This is what he's talking about. This is what our scripture is saying, that it's not about what you see, but rather, who do you trust? Do you trust in what your eyes see? I don't know if you guys have realized, but much of this world is a facade. Much of this world is a lie. Much of what this world has to offer you just burns you time and time again. Why does this happen? Because we go with our eyes and we don't trust in Christ. Because he is calling to us one way, but our eyes pull us another way. But when our eyes say go left and Jesus says go right, despite what our eyes see, we go right with Jesus. We go the path that he called us on. That is what walking by faith is. When you get saved, Jesus doesn't spiritually pluck out your eyes and you have to hold his hand and follow him like that. Although sometimes I think maybe that wouldn't be half a bad idea. It can get kind of difficult when we see crazy things going on. When our heart, our flesh, our mind says go that way, but Jesus says go this way. That is walking by faith. When we do it despite what we see, despite what our heart may feel. Sometimes walking by faith means doing exactly the opposite of what we want to do. Sometimes walking by faith means doing exactly the opposite of what we think might be effective. You see, there's a couple things that I feel like I harp on quite a bit, but it's because they're, I think, a pretty common issue amongst human beings, and I preach to human beings. So there are things in the Bible that God says, this is how you should deal with these things, and the world says, No, it's not, okay? So Jesus says, walk by faith, and the world says, go by your sight. Go by what you feel, what you see, what seems right to you. So when people cross us, anybody ever been crossed before? And I'm not talking about basketball. Nobody? Anybody been crossed before? Backstabbed? Turned on? Man, y'all got it easy. I've been crossed before. If it hasn't happened, it might happen someday. So listen, if you've ever been crossed before, your heart says, get revenge, get back on them, spread slander about them, show up at their front door and knock their teeth out. Whatever it is that you think you need to do to rectify the situation is what your heart says to do. But the word of God says in Romans 12, 19 through 21, we heard a testimony recently about how well this works. It says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is like the opposite of everything. When somebody crosses you, you want to knock their teeth out, right? You want to say something. You want to do something. But the Bible says, no, show them love. I just said it. We I don't know if you all were here, but we just had a testimony a couple weeks ago about this verse being lived out and how it worked. Crazy, right? But our flesh says, forget them. Abide by this word. Love your enemies. Feed your enemies. Abide by this word, and that is the very definition of walking by faith and not by sight. Anyone who has truly put this into practice knows that the results are surprisingly successful. Because I put that into practice, I ended up in the first real job I ever had in my life. Because the enemy happened to be my boss. And I earned his trust, and he ended up letting me take over for him when he retired instead of canning me like the last 10 guys before me. Because I chose to walk by faith and not by sight. Anybody who has truly put this into practice understands the results are shockingly successful. Why? Because God's got a supernatural hand in it. What about when the money is tight and the bills are stacking up? And the devil, he's always faithful to come through with this line. You can't afford to tithe this week because the bills are stacking up and the money is tight. Right? We've all heard that line before. Even I have, recently. Just got to kind of tell them, get lost. But when the money is tight and our eyes look at our bank account and we go, 10% seems like a whole lot right now. Maybe 10? Like dollars or cents maybe even? Can God hit you with an IOU? So our eyes tell us this isn't going to work out. Our heart tells us, I got to put food on my table for my kids. Our flesh tells us, you ain't going to get the Twinkies. But Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 through 11 tells us, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. He's talking about the church, the house of God, that there may be food in my house. This is God speaking. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. And I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil and your vine, and in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Your eyes say, I got to skip that 10% this week. Your heart says, I can't afford it. My kids need it. But the word of God says, try God and see what he does. Because not only does he got the whole world in his hands, just like the song says, he's got heaven, he's got Jupiter, Mars, Saturn, and all the billions of other galaxies in this world in his hands. So when he opens up the windows of heaven, man, if you think this galaxy is big, imagine how big the windows of heaven are. there's going to be enough. As Pastor Campbell says, this is a legendary quote in our fellowship, God's got all the money. He's got the whole world, including the dollars. How can we not trust him with this? But when our heart and our eyes say, nope, not this week, but the word of God says, yes, every week, and we do it anyway, you abide in this word, and that is walking by faith and not by sight. And again, I will say anybody who has truly put this into practice knows that God can make far more out of 90% than we could have ever made out of 100%. Why? Because he is supernatural and we are not. He is super smart and we are dumb. I'm sorry. If you didn't know that, now you know. I'm including myself in there too, so I'm not just... We don't know what we're doing most of the time. We think we do. We think we're hot stuff. But Jesus, God says, listen, I can take that 90 and I can make it more than you could do with even 200%. Why? Because he's supernatural and we're not. Because he created the laws of the harvest and we didn't. You see, sometimes we try to make sense out of what God says. It doesn't work that way sometimes. Sometimes what God says doesn't make sense just so he can prove to you that he can make it work even though it doesn't make sense. Why? Because he's a supernatural God and he wants to prove that to you. If it made sense, he wouldn't be supernatural and he wouldn't be worthy of our praise. He would be no different than us. He would just be a smart dude with some good advice. When everything is going wrong and our mind goes to self-pity and complaining about life, we see things with our eyes. We feel things with our heart. Our flesh cries out for all kinds of wild things. But Psalms 43:5 says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him, my salvation and my God. Abide in his word. Trust in him that when you're feeling a certain way, when life is attacking you a certain way and your eyes say, go here, do this, feel that way, buy that, it'll cover the wounds. But we say, no, I'm going to put my hope in God instead of in man, my hope in God instead of in drugs, my hope in God instead of eating when I'm depressed, my hope in God instead of swearing up a storm because it makes me feel a little bit better for about 5.5 seconds. I'm going to abide in what the word says, and I'm going to put my trust in him. I'm going to dig into the word of God. I'm going to spend time in prayer. I'm going to call my pastor or the leader of the church and say, pastor, leader of the church, I'm struggling here. I need some wisdom. I need some prayer. I need some help. We're going to do these things, and when we do that, that is walking by faith and not by sight. When we seek God and we worship him, even through our hardest of times, and we find rest and hope in him, is when we walk by faith and not by sight. We see the options. We see the mess all around us, but we choose to run to Jesus instead. And these are just a couple examples. I could go all night with all the different things that could we could choose between walking in faith or walking by sight, but we don't have all night. I'm not going to keep you guys that long. But some of you, you're going through something. Maybe I didn't cover it in these three examples. I think we're all smart enough here to be able to connect those dots. That you've been walking by sight. You've been doing it on your own. You've been following the ways of the world, and you're tired of running down that path that seems to go in a circle. It's time to start walking by faith. It's time to get into the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is a never-ending fount of wisdom. I've said it so many times that you guys are probably getting tired of hearing it, but why do I say it? Because it's true. If you feel like you're too dumb to live, then I would suggest reading this book. You see, most of the time we feel like we're too dumb to figure life out, so we definitely won't be able to figure this book out. And you know what? On some levels, you're probably right. But the reality is that we serve a supernatural God who can open your mind to what is in this book. Thank the Lord for that, because I need it. We need to walk by faith, and it starts by understanding how to walk by faith. It's found in the Word. When we come against life, or when life comes against us, sometimes we get this idea that we're really smart and we know exactly what to do. Slow down. Take a breath. Sometimes we make decisions and we call shots before we've even consulted God, before we've gone to prayer, before we've read the Word, before we've sought counsel. This is walking by sight, and it's going to keep you on that loop. Right? Life is a journey to heaven, and sometimes we feel like we're going on one of those tracks on the track and field. It just goes in a circle. You're running, you're heaving, you can't even breathe anymore, and you feel like, man, when am I going to get off this race? And you don't even realize you're going in circles. Walking by sight, we see and then we do. We see and then we act. We feel and then we react. We have to slow down, pray, read the Word, seek counsel, and repeat. This is a process of life. And we do this until we know what God says, until we know what God's calling us to do. Because God wants to help us. Sometimes He's standing there on the edge of the track that we're running in circles on. He's just... Sometimes we come by, are you ready yet? No. Are you ready yet? No. Here we can go. Okay, another lap. All right. Just keep burning those lungs up. Anybody ever ran so long your lungs start burning? Takes me about 3.5 seconds. You feel like that spiritually. You feel like that in your heart. Stop running in circles. Because God wants to help you. Psalms 14:2 says, the Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, if there are any who seek after God. The question is, are you seeking after God? Are you living life by sight, going every which way you feel, or are you seeking for God? Do we seek Him by walking by faith through all of our circumstances? Do we seek Him before we move, before we act, before we jump on opportunities, or before we jump on our enemies? Why can we do this? Why does this work? Why do we say walk by faith and not by sight, but what's in our sight tends to make sense and the faith doesn't seem to make sense? Why do we do this way? Why? Because we serve a God, we have a God who will not forsake us. Psalms 9 verse 10 says, and those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. This is a promise in the Word of God. Those who walk by faith, just like King David did, who was the author of this psalm, know that when you put your trust in God, He will not forsake you. That when you lean upon God, He will care for you. Even when that situation doesn't add up, and God's command doesn't make sense. Anybody ever had God tell you to do something that didn't make no sense? If you haven't, sign up. I guarantee you, it's quite the ride. You'll get on that roller coaster made by man, but you won't get on this ride that God designed for you. Sometimes the Word of God says, love your enemy? What? Give 10% when the amount of money that you need to make ends meet is about 120%? Not freak out and have a panic attack every time things go slightly wrong? What? This doesn't make sense to me. But the Word of God says it works. Why? Because we serve a supernatural God. It doesn't have to make sense. Because even when it doesn't make sense, we obey and then He works it out. It's not by anything we do. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. He tells us to do things that in our mind doesn't make sense so that He can work it out. Because if He told us to do things that did make sense, we could be like, all right, God, I'll do that. And then as soon as it works, we go, boom, look what I did. No. That's not how God works. God wants to do things for you that only He can do. God wants to do things for you that cannot be claimed by man. That is walking by faith. Martin Luther said, God, our Father, has made all things depend on faith so that whoever has faith will have everything, and whoever does not have faith will have nothing. Let me say that again. Martin Luther. God our Father has made all things depend on faith, so that whoever has faith will have everything, but whoever does not have faith will have nothing. There's a lot of people in this world who we think got a whole lot, but they don't have faith. They got nothing. Especially once they breathe their last breath. That reality is going to hit hard. But his promises through our faith are always greater than what we see with our eyes. For as our text says, we walk by faith, not by sight. When we put this into practice, we are unlocking blessings from God that we could not fathom would ever take place in our lives. And we won't even fully fathom until we reach heaven. That he will move in ways in our lives that are unimaginable, but even then, that's still only a fraction of what he has for us waiting for us in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, again, he's speaking about our flesh, our body, we have a building. Okay, I'm going to give you an option. Do you want to live in a tent or a building? Which one's better? Some people really like camping, but I'm talking about forever. A tent or a building, you're going to choose a building. You're going to choose a structure, especially in the Tri-Cities. As soon as that wind picks up, you're going to fly away in the tent. It's going to take you with it. For we know that the tent that is our earthly home, our body, is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That this stupid body that we have that doesn't look the way we want it to look, doesn't feel the way we want it to feel, doesn't do the things we want it to do, is just a tent compared to the building, the house that God has for us in heaven. How many, you know, we get new bodies when we go to heaven? Some of y'all are like, oh, thank goodness. I feel that way sometimes. I'm like, I'm ready for that new body. I'm in a lot of pain right now. Y'all saw me last week. Hopefully I get new teeth in heaven. We must understand that our life here on earth is nothing but a mere tent compared to the structure, the building, the house that God has prepared for us in heaven. That is eternal. Continuing on in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verses 2 through 5, it says, for in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. So in other words, we're like, we're ready, like I just said, we're ready to go. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked, for while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but that we should be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. We all like guarantees. Guarantee it or your money back, right? When life is hard, and it can get that way, life's tough, get a helmet. When life is hard, and it will get hard, if it's not right now, it will. If it is right now, listen up. We must remember that our main focus is God and eternity. That the whole point of this life, the whole point of living in this dumb tent that we've learned to deal with, is that we want to make it to heaven so that we can abandon this temporary home and go to our eternal home. The whole point of what we're doing is to serve God and make it to him in heaven someday. That no matter what pain this life brings us in this temporary tent, we can go to heaven someday in God's eternal glory. And as verse 5 says, that God has prepared us for the trials of this life. We might live in a measly little tent that the Tri-Cities wind would take for a ride, but God still will help us get through. He's got some pretty good tent stakes, okay? Through his word, the word of God, the Holy Bible that we so take for granted in America, and through his Spirit, who will speak directly to us on a day-to-day basis if we open our hearts to Him, has given us this guarantee of eternal life. That's a guarantee I want to sign up for right there. That when we trust in Him, when we walk by faith and not by sight, His Spirit assures us of eternity through the Spirit. That no matter how much we painfully live in this life, how much we no longer want to live in this tent, we hold strong to the God that promised us, that guaranteed us an eternal dwelling in heaven. Verses 6 through 10. So we are always of good courage. He just talked about how badly sometimes we want to die and go to heaven because we're tired of this tent. But we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, in the tent, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, in the tent, whether for good or evil. See, this tent is just temporary. But what we do with it has eternal consequences or rewards. And we walk by faith and not by sight. Because our God gives us the courage to put our trust in Him, to trust in His Word, to take Him at His Word and have faith in His promises that we find in His Word, that we can have courage through the Holy Spirit to live according to faith and not by what we see, because our eyes will always deceive us, so that we walk in faith and aim to please Him. But this is the reality of it that we face. Verse 10 says, "For all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive what is due for what we have done, whether good or evil." This is the reality of all of mankind. Sometimes we think, man, this tent that God gave me is no good. It's got holes, it leaks rain, I don't even have any tent stakes, it sucks. Sometimes we feel that way about the life, the hand that we've been dealt. But the reality is, it's not about the hand that we've been dealt. It's about the effort that we put into that hand, the investment that we put into God's kingdom. You see, the reality isn't what we're capable of. The reality is, did we trust in God with what we do have? Because at the end, when it's time to move out of this earthly dwelling, out of our tent, if you will, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is a reality for all of mankind. And we will it will be determined of us, did we live according to our flesh? Did we live by our sight, going every which way that we felt, thought, and desired? Or did we put our trust in God and walk in faith despite what we see? Because walking in faith has rewards on earth. People who have done it know. Walking by faith has supernatural success in our circumstances. Most importantly, walking by faith has eternal rewards. Because this tent, it's only temporary. How many know tents are temporary, right? Nobody lives in a tent full time except for if they're called homeless, and that doesn't even count that as a home. It's temporary. But the way we use this life, the way we walk in our life, has eternal implications. You see, the challenge about walking by faith and not by sight is that our eyes don't stop working when we turn to Christ. Our eyes still work. We still see the things around us. We still face temptations. So we must learn to make our faith work harder than our sight, to make our faith focus more on Christ than our eyes focus on the world. So that when we come to the end of this life and we step into eternity, we can step into that building, that house, that home that God has prepared for each and every one of us. As we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we can hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with little, and now you will be entrusted with much." See, sometimes we feel like the hand we've been dealt is too little to be effective. That's a lie from hell. Sometimes we feel like this tent that we dwell in can't really do much for God. That's a lie from hell. It's not about how much you think you can do. It's about how much do you trust God to do what he's called you to do. That we walk by faith despite our sight. Let's bow our heads this evening, close our eyes.